Well, this morning we continue our series all about Jesus from the book of Luke. In the previous section, just last week, in verse 36, Jesus finished with a message of hope. Jesus declared that if your whole body is full of only light, then you will shine bright. You see, sadly, the Pharisees and these experts of the law, they'd rejected Jesus as Messiah. They're convinced Jesus doesn't fit the Old Testament description of the Messiah. But why is this? Why do they think this way? Well, it's because their hearts are filled with greed and wickedness. They're more interested in following rules, regulations, and rituals. They simply follow their forefathers, who coincidentally killed the early prophets, it said in our passage. They're only really interested in earning like public approval and trying to look good because of their sinful desires and the darkness in their heart. They don't get it. Jesus just made the point that if you have light inside, you shine on the outside. The Pharisees and the law experts, they think they shine through their righteous acts, through the things that they do. But all these righteous acts do are give them the opinion that they are looking good. The reality is these religious leaders are dark on the inside. And because of this, they're unable to shine on the outside. So before we turn to our passage, what does your life look like on the inside? What does your life look like on the inside? Is the person we see on a Sunday the true and real you, or is it a persona that you put on? You know, these are some of the issues that we face today. Do we really know each other? I'm sure you've all heard of the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, haven't we? Yeah, there's a few nods. You know, the book by Robert Louis Stevenson. It's a story about a respected scientist, Dr. Jekyll, but he has a split personality, an evil alter ego in the form of Mr. Hyde. Now, Jekyll tries to control this alter ego of Hyde, and for a while he succeeds, but by the end of it, Hyde has taken over, which results in their deaths. Now, the term a Jekyll and Hyde personality is used today. It derives from this novel. It's a term which describes someone who has two distinct sides to their character, one side good, the other evil. In most cases, people try and hide their evil side. They may succeed at first, but inevitably, the evil within them shines through. Do you remember the fourth point Phil brought last Sunday morning? Anyone remember it? I won't test you, I'll read it to you. He said, "We will shine forth externally what is true internally." In our passage, Jesus continues his teaching. Look what he says in verses 37 and 38. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at his table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not wash before the meal, was surprised. Now, it may or may not come as a surprise to you, but to find Jesus eating with a Pharisee, although he experienced hostilities from them, he didn't hate them in return. So Jesus accepts this invitation to eat with a Pharisee. And as Jesus sat down, the Pharisee noticed he hadn't washed. This clearly came as a surprise to the Pharisee. It says there in the text, he was visibly shocked. Not shocked by Jesus' perhaps lack of hygiene, but shocked that Jesus hadn't followed custom. You see, Pharisees, they had a very rigid washing ritual which they had to undertake. They began by pouring water over their hands from the fingers to their wrists. And then each palm is cleansed by using the fist of the other rubbed against the other hand. And then water's poured over it again, this time from the wrists to the fingers. You know, these religious leaders were really serious about this ceremonial washing. In fact, we became quite serious about some washing. Happy birthday to you. You remember that one? Did you really do 20 seconds every time? Not sure I did. Sorry, that was quite an open admission there. Sadly, they were more interested in cleaning their hands than cleaning their hearts. Some people just like to make rules to generate some sort of conformity. We've seen that too. Jesus doesn't. We can be thankful. We don't have to subscribe to these ridiculous religious rituals. So whilst the Pharisees are washing their hands, Jesus is waiting and watching. And this Pharisee is surprised. Jesus recognizes this, so continues his earlier teaching. This leads us on to our one and only point this morning. However, it has six sub-points. The first point is going to come up on your screen. You foolish people. Look at verses 39 to 41. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people! Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." Verse 39 there, Jesus wastes no time in setting the Pharisees straight. He states that whilst they clean the outside of the cup, the inside remains dirty. They may be clean on the outside, but they're greedy and wicked on the inside. It's a great analogy. When a cup is dirty on the inside, you just can't use it. Nobody wants to put their lips around a cup and then see dirt staring back at them. Sadly, this does happen on occasion. In our house, our dishwasher is a bit hit and miss. I don't mean my kids or my wife. I mean the actual dishwasher is hit and miss. It doesn't always clean the cups properly. One of my children finds it a real irritation. Some get soiled with other debris. Now, I can cope with the cup or the glass, in our case, being a little dirty on the outside, as long as it's clean on the inside. You never want to see a bit of your spaghetti bolognese floating around in your cup of tea, do you? So if ever you come to my house and have a cup of tea, don't think you need to look for the spaghetti bolognese, because I'll have definitely cleaned it out. Now, if you're washing the cups by hand, who thought you were going to get a lesson on washing up this morning? Now, if you're cleaning your cups by hand, you should always start on the inside. You clean the inside first, then the rim on the cup, before finishing outside. You can't clean the outside of the cup and just expect the inside to be clean. But this is what these Pharisees and experts of the law were doing. They're only interested in their outward appearance, not their inside. And they may well have looked clean on the outside, yet inside they were greedy and wicked. So in verse 40, Jesus refers to them as foolish people. They were foolish. They were outwardly clean, yet inwardly dirty. They might well have had clean hands, but their hearts were filthy. Verse 41 perhaps makes the point very clear. Pay attention to your heart. Find purity in your heart by giving kindly to the poor. Give from the heart. But this is not where Jesus ends his teaching. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows that we will justify ourselves and will act like our hearts are clean. So Jesus is going to expose our hearts so that we can see who we truly are. In verses 42 to 44, Jesus delivers woe upon woe upon woe. Three woes in total. Some of the language may be harsh. However, this woe language is necessary. It's woe language that's been used before by prophets in the Old Testament. And in fact, if you're coming out tonight to be with us, you're going to hear Isaiah use the same woe language. Isaiah 5, which Phil's going to speak on tonight, verses 8 to 23, is full of this woe language. It is, isn't it? Bro. It's used to both condemn and warn us. So without any further delay, let's have a look at the first of these woes. I've called the first one, don't neglect the love of God. Look at verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all the kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. It's like these Pharisees, they loved their rules and their rituals. They were perhaps meticulous and a bit finicky. They were tithe from their herb gardens, counting each individual seed and all the leaves. Yet whilst they gave God, didn't they? They gave God a tenth, it says. I'm pretty sure it wasn't an 11th, and I doubt it was a 9th, but it was a 10th of everything. Yet we see in verse 42 that these Pharisees neglected justice and the love of God. They'd lost the joy of giving in their tithing. They were keeping God's law in some areas, but ignoring it in others. They appear to keep certain commands of God, but not all his commands. Do you know, sadly, we're the same. We pay attention to some commands, but flout others. We might not worship other gods, yet we idolize famous faces and families. Some may honor their school teachers, kids, yet maybe they don't always honor their mothers and fathers. We perhaps won't commit murder, yet some will happily commit adultery. They'll view pornography. We might not use bad language, but we ignore the command for self-control. You know, all too often, we major on some commands, but fail in keeping the others. You know, true disciples, real followers of Jesus, are going to strive to be concerned about all of God's laws. We can't just take some and think, well, we won't worry about those. We need to be consistent. We don't want to neglect the love of God. Secondly, don't seek attention from others. Look there at verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisee, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. If you're honest, I guess if we're honest, we all like a little bit of attention, I'm sure. But do you look for it? You know, some seek attention. Some perhaps even crave recognition. They want that approval for their accomplishments. You know what? This happens in church. Someone others to see what they are doing. They want people to know what they're doing for the Lord. You know, the Pharisees were no different. They wanted to be seen as holy men. They wanted to take up the best seats in the synagogues in order to be seen. And these best seats were usually right up the front, facing the congregation. It's where the leaders and prominent people sat. It's like celebrity status. I'm sure you've all been to the theatre. It always gets me. You know when you see the royal box? They're solely so we can see them. Because I tell you what, I wouldn't want to sit watching a show like that for an hour and a half. I'd rather sit right in the middle looking forward. These seats are so we can see them watching the show. They want the recognition. They want attention. They wanted fame. Yet you know what? The attention should be on Jesus. The recognition should be on him. Remember, it's never about what we do, but all about what Jesus did. It doesn't matter if you sing from the front or you sing from the very, very back. It doesn't matter whether you serve communion here or you serve the coffee at the back. It doesn't matter if you're someone who prays out loud consistently in open prayer time or you're just someone who sits quietly praying in your head. Whatever way you might be serving, just get on and do it. Do it quietly. See, true disciples will focus will keep the focus on Jesus. They'll not seek attention. They'll not crave the recognition for the good that they're doing in the kingdom. Thirdly, and do you know what? I'll be honest. I really battled this third one, thinking of the right title. In fact, I sent it to John twice, I think. Don't hate those living around you. Or don't defile those living around you. Look at verse 44 there. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it. Tricky and challenging one, this. Verse 44 there, Jesus makes reference to the law of Moses. This reference to the law of Moses is recorded in Numbers 19, verse 16. Let me just share that verse with you. Anyone who touches someone who has been killed with a sword, or someone who has died a natural death, or anyone who touches a human bone or a grave will be unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches the dead, a human body, or a grave will be unclean. They'll be considered ceremonial unclean for the 7 days. For this reason, the Jewish leaders decided to mark out the graves clearly. They used whitewash to identify where the graves were and where to avoid. This is what I think Jesus is referring to here. This is the imagery he's using. These religious leaders are like these unmarked graves. They masquerade as being righteous and holy, yet inside they're filthy. Their teaching is false. They taint those who come into contact with them. Sadly, we see it today. Just look at the mess that the Church of England's in. They're leading the church astray with their false teaching on marriage. They're corrupting all those who sit under their ministry. They're not helping people spiritually. They're tainting them. Why? Because the inside of the cup is unclean. Their hearts are impure. And you know, we do the same. We taint those around us as if we're unclean. We do this when we perhaps act selfishly, when we set a poor example, when we lack a zeal for the Lord and become lazy and idle, when we speak out of turn, when we act in an inappropriate way, when we fail to show the love, compassion, and kindness of God, when we don't grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures and then believe and teach things which are not in the Bible. If you're clean on the inside, you'll without doubt, if you're unclean on the inside, you'll without doubt be dirty on the outside. And inevitably, you'll then taint all those who come into contact that you're living around. True disciples of Jesus will not wrongly influence those living around them. We need to be really careful how we come across to those we want to witness to. We can't taint them with the dirt that's in our own hearts. So having concluded the first three of these woes, look what happens next. I love verse 45. One of the experts of the law decides now to chip in. And I'm not sure this so-called expert has read the room right. It's probably one of those moments where you should just keep quiet. But instead, he's kind of like, I don't know, I can almost imagine, well, you know, Jesus, now you're reprimanding these Pharisees. Actually, you know, these things that you say, they insult me as well. Kind of love Jesus' response. Because he now replies by heaping three woes upon them. He's diverted his attention away from the Pharisees, and now he's looking straight at these law experts. And with this, basically, Jesus is saying, I know. Because they should feel hurt and insulted. That's how God feels every time they and we consistently, time and again, let him down. If we're offended by these words, by these woes, then we don't understand. It shows that we don't understand what we're supposed to be learning here. Jesus is revealing our hypocrisy. He's exposing what really is in our hearts. If you're offended by what Jesus is saying here, then these woes are for you. If you feel insulted, then you reveal that you're someone Jesus is talking about. So in the time that we've got left, let's just look at these last three remaining woes together. Fourthly, don't load others down with burdens. Verse 46, Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them." I think we're quite good at this one, sadly. Perhaps unwittingly at times, but we do it. We're very good at telling other people what they should be doing. Why is this? Because all too often, we're unwilling to do it ourselves. This happens regularly. People like to complain, not all the time, but enough. Why doesn't the church do this? Why doesn't the church visit so-and-so? Why don't we do what other churches do? Why don't we run this ministry? I guess what Jesus is saying is, don't load others down with burdens. Help out. Pardon the expression, but pull your finger out. Stop putting burdens on others and pick up those burdens. There's so much that needs to be done. Think about how you can be helpful. You know, as a church, we have a collective responsibility. We're called to serve within Him. Don't point the finger at others unless you're willing to lift one to help. We need to roll up our sleeves. We need to take responsibility for the work. Not be just content to leave it for someone else to do. Or perhaps even worse, question why others aren't doing the work that you could do too. True disciples will think what they can do to help. But fifthly, don't ignore the message of the prophets. Verses 47 to 51. Woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that they approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that have been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. I think the fifth woe here relates to ignorance. Many have ignored the message. They've ignored the prophets of God who've gone before. They haven't listened. Yet in their ignorance, they've honoured the prophets by building their tombs, despite the fact these prophets have been killed by their forefathers. What they should have done was listen to the prophets' message. They should have honoured them by living their lives in the way they instructed. They dishonoured the prophets by continuing to live sinful lives. Sadly, we're the same. We dishonour the prophets in just the same way. We think that we honour God's word, yet we don't act like we honour it. If we truly honour God's word, then we'll do exactly what he says. We'll put away our sinful activity. We'll not make idols of others. We won't dishonour our parents. We'll not engage in wickedness, so on and so forth. We must stop pretending that we love God, yet ignore what he's telling us to do. Real followers of Jesus, true disciples, will honour God by honouring his word. Sixthly, don't hinder others from the knowledge of God. Woe to you experts in the law, verse 52, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. The final woe Jesus brings to these experts in the law concerns knowledge. These supposed experts had inadvertently taken away the key to knowledge. They were supposed to be leading people to the Lord, not turning them away. These religious leaders were supposed to be teaching God's word to the people. They were given the key to knowledge, the tools to reveal God to the world, yet they hadn't opened nor entered into God's kingdom. Worse still, they're preventing others from entering into his kingdom because of these, their selfish righteousness. They're not full of light, as we saw in verse 36. One commentator said the following: it's bad for someone not to enter into heaven themselves, but it's far worse to hinder another person from entering in. Jesus warns we must not hinder others from the knowledge of God. We're supposed to lead people to Jesus, guide them towards salvation. We're given the words of God for the intent of teaching others. And if our hearts aren't right, we'll not share our knowledge with God with others. And woe to us if we don't teach the word of God to people. Woe to us if we fail to open God's word and learn from it. We must not hinder others from the knowledge of God when we hold the keys. If we're true disciples, we won't forget that the mission to seek and save the lost, that's what Jesus came to do. We're to continue that. Before we close, I want us to see the response of these religious leaders. And we can read of their response in our final two verses, 53 and 54. When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. Look there at verse 53. They opposed Jesus fiercely. They didn't accept the warning, nor the rebuke Jesus was giving them. Instead, they preferred to continue with their own sinful ways and habits. Rather than show repentance, they showed rage. Instead of humbly receiving the correction, they respond with outrage. You know, Proverbs tells us what those who refuse correction do. Two things here. Firstly, they hate those who try and correct them. That's Proverbs 9, verse 8. Secondly, they don't listen to those trying to correct them. Proverbs 13, verse 1. We also learn about the characters of those refusing correction in the book of Proverbs. It says in verse 12, verse 1 and 15, verse 5, they are both stupid and foolish. Please have a look at these references in your own time. These are not my words. Phil said the same last week. These are the words found in God's word, his authoritative written word. So as we close this morning, what will you do with these woes? The words of Jesus had no effect on the Pharisees or the law experts. Instead, they just tried to test Jesus. They tried to provoke and discredit him. Sounds quite familiar. We see the same today. People try to discredit Jesus. But you know what? The truth hurts. The reality is, even if we don't like what we hear, his teaching is true. These Pharisees, these experts of the law, you and me, you know, we can't shy away from it. We can't bury our heads in the sand and simply ignore the teaching of Jesus. At the same time, we can't just pretend. We can't just pretend to be Christians. We can't be Christians on the outside, but someone else on the inside. So what is in your heart this morning? What would it tell us about you? Now, we all need to be cleansed from the inside out. We need our hearts purifying. You know, we'll never draw closer to God if we've not had our hearts cleansed by him first. True disciples of Jesus, real followers, will desire to be holy. They'll want to be cleansed within. They'll choose to be holy, set apart for the Lord, ready to do his will. Where are you this morning? What is in your heart? That's my prayer for you. Amen.